Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We've got a ton of stuff to break down once again. I got to tell you what, man. It's been a wild week. It's been a wild couple of weeks, actually. You know, there's just so many, you know, stories and crazy things that are going on in the sports world that would be massive stories if they weren't, like, you know, forgotten about a couple of minutes later because something else happens. It's just one thing after another. So let's sort of set the table here and what's happened in the last 24 hours of note. John Harbaugh is the new coach of the New York Giants. Amanda Nunes and Kayla Harrison, the one fight that I was looking forward to the most on UFC 324, the woman's super fight, is canceled because Kayla Harrison needs surgery on her neck, and she's going to be out for at least 6 months. And there's a massive gambling scandal with college basketball, which is kind of, I don't know, it sounds crazy to say, like, you know, these, and once again, like, these stories used to be a big deal. Like, oh my God, a game and a kid and missed a shot on purpose. And, you know, there'd be documentaries about it and all this type of stuff. Isn't it kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? I bet every day. I know going in. All right. Like, I know going in. We've told you this for years. We've told you this for years. All right. A Michigan and a Purdue game is not, there's nothing going on nefarious, right? Nobody's missing on purpose. Nobody's, like, you know, shaving points. Nobody's, like, throwing anything on the Duke Blue Devils or the North Carolina Tar Heels, etc. But I've told you forever, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, watch out. You know, like, put it this way. Like, I don't, people are like, oh, I got ripped off or I got burnt. If you're betting on a Texas Southern basketball game, or a Kennesaw State game, like, if you look at the teams and the players that were involved in this, none of them are a surprise, really, right? As far as we've been calling this for years. And you know, if there's a betting scandal, you know our boys in the MAC got to get in on this. And they did. So, and we've told you forever, too, about the MAC. But for shame, Buffalo. For shame. The Buffalo Bulls, Kent State, Ohio. The thing is, though, these players on those teams were not, you know, were not, at least not yet. We don't know all the players' names yet that have been charged. I guess there's like 17 of them when it's all said and done. But the game, so basically they did, the FBI investigators identified games that were affected involving teams, right? Western Michigan, Butler, St. John's, Tulane, East Carolina, McNeese State, Nicholls State, St. Louis, Duquesne, LaSalle, Fordham, Buffalo, Kent State, Ohio, Georgetown, and DePaul. Now, I should note, it doesn't mean that the kids on those teams did anything, but those were the games that, like, were involved, that were investigated. But we should note, like, I basically, you know, like I said, this is all new and it's coming out. We'll read the indictments and you really start to get into the weeds of this stuff. But it seems like basically like those teams, like St. John's got sucked, you know, got brought into this basically because somebody on the other team was screwing around in one of their games. You know what I'm saying? the players that like have been nailed, like basically and outed already, so you know, like they're in trouble. Kennesaw State, Simeon Cottle, who was actually the preseason conference USA Player of the Year, so you're really screwed up, kid. Delaware State's Camion Shell, Eastern Michigan's Carlos Hart, and Texas Southern's Umar Karaisi. Those are the first kids that are getting hung to dry here and have actually been charged, nailed, and will be going to jail. Like, this is, I've told you guys this in the past as well. You're better off, like, getting caught, like, dealing cocaine than like, getting caught manipulating a game. They really freak out about it. Like, they really do. Anytime you mess with people's money and the system's money and stuff, right? Like, they're going to freak out about this, and they're going to make an example to set, you know, an example for the other kids. Now, I should note, too, like, the, you know, it's all new, but it's not a case of which the kids came up with this themselves, right? So it's not, and you know that's happening, right? You got, I guarantee you, there's a kid right now today in college basketball who was thinking, you know, I was going to screw around with my props tonight, but now I won't because of this. So, like, it could, this should be a real warning to kids. Like, it's not worth it. It's simply not worth it, man. You're going to go to jail for, like, a serious crime, and you're not even making any money off of this. So it seems as though a group, federal prosecutors charged 20 people, including several former college basketball players, in an alleged point-shaving scheme. The indictment states that more than 39 players on at least 17 teams fixed and attempted to fix 29 games. As we mentioned, for the current players listed, as we gave you the players, we told you the teams that were involved. But the scheme began in September 2022 and eventually evolved to include college basketball players who were paid. So, like, basically a group, a shady group, reached out and brought in college basketball players into their little net. And they were paid. So it wasn't like, oh, we got dirt on you or like that, because that happens a lot, right? Like, that's a big thing. You know, like, it's a big thing in, like, in Europe and soccer and stuff like that. Like, they'll get, like, an underage girl to, like, hook up with a player or something, and then they'll blackmail the player. And they'll say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know that girl you met the other night, eh? You know, she's under, like, whatever. Like, they'll have stuff on them. And then they'll say, listen, we won't tell anybody, but you've got to do this now, right? And it happens. So, you know, so this isn't a case where the kids came up with themselves or there was some, you know, someone forced them to do it or something like that. No. Somebody reached out to them. And then all these kids, you know, people know each other. So, you know, if there's one guy, you know, they told him, you know, some kid on Kennesaw State, if you got any buddies that, you know, you trust on any of these other teams, let them know that we're doing this and we'll pay them. So they were paying him $10,000 to $30,000. So let's just say there's a couple of kids that actually got the $30,000, the max, the 10 to 30. Dude, you just committed a federal offense. Like, you're going to go to jail for $30,000. $30,000. You would have been better off robbing a 7-Eleven. Like, it's not like the crime, the reward doesn't fit, like, you know what I mean? There are some crimes, I'm not advocating it, but there's some crimes that some people are like, hey, you know what? Yeah, I got caught, like, dealing, you know, tons of heroin and cocaine, and I did 14 years, but I also made $380 million, and I still have the money. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, some people look at it like that. Like, yeah, I'll do the time for a little while, but I made so much or I'm making so much. It's part of the game. You want to go to jail for, like, 4 years or something for $30,000? Are you kidding me? $30,000? $10,000? And you can't, like, wiggle out of it and say, oh, well, you know, I only made $10,000. You can't say I'm this big criminal. You violated, like, all these, like, federal laws and stuff like that. Like, there's no turning back. You know, whatever. I guess you can snitch on the people that did this, but how do you really snitch on the people that did it when the people that did it are already arrested? like they're already caught, right? So, very, here we go. The NCAA investigation also included former Arizona State. Arizona State's always involved in this stuff, huh? Arizona State, New Orleans, University of New Orleans, and this is a real shocker here, Mississippi Valley State. See, that doesn't surprise me. Mississippi Valley State games are like shady as hell. But like I said, guys, it's part of, like I said, like, is it better? I know some people get all mad at all. I'm betting on rigged things and stuff. It's like, listen, dude, as I stated, if you're betting on a Mississippi Valley State college basketball game, you got a problem. All right? You know, is it their fault or your fault? Right? You're betting on these games. And I do. I bet on Mississippi Valley State just a couple of days ago, actually. So, but I sort of know. And don't forget, too, when you're betting on these rigged games, you might be on the side that they're trying to help. Right? So it goes both ways. Right? It really does. It goes both ways. So, yeah, that's one little crazy. Like I said, it's just sort of one thing after another going on here. And we got the WBC is 49 days away right now. And now Bregman is in. Alex Bregman, of course, just signed with the Chicago Cubs at the press conference. He also announced, and yes, I will be playing in the WBC for Team USA. Team USA is I don't even know if stacked is the word. Morbidly obese. Like, I think might be like this team, they've never had a team like this at the WBC before. I mean, hell, they're so good. They have Cal Raleigh and Will Smith at catcher. I don't even know what you're going to do. You got Cal Raleigh, Will Smith, Bryce Harper, Bryce Turan, Gunnar Henderson, Alex Bregman, Bobby Witt Jr., Ernie Clement, Aaron Judge, Corbin Carroll, Pete Crow Armstrong, Brian Broxton, and Kyle Schwarber. That's the USA's team right now. Their pitching staff. Clayton Kershaw, of course, is retiring, was just announced that he is going to play. This is going to be his last dance. With Team USA. So he's been added yet. You know, obviously he's not going to be a focal point of the staff, but Clayton Kershaw, Tarek Skubal, Paul Skeens, Joe Ryan, Logan Webb. USA's never had, like, that's always been the thing. USA's always had, like, a couple of star players on offense, sort of like mid-tier guys, and not their best pitchers. Like, Lance Lynn, like, was the one of their best guys last time around. Now you got Skubal, Skeens, Ryan, and Webb. Dear God. Nolan McClain, Clay Holmes, Matthew Boyd, Mason Miller, dear Mason Miller out of the bullpen, Griffin Jass, Garrett Whitlock, Garrett Clevenger, David Bednar, Gabe Spire, and Griffin Jass. So USA are stacked and loaded, and I never bet on a USA to win this tournament, but I actually might this year because they're that loaded. Let's bring in Cam Stewart right now. Cam, there's a lot of going on in the sports world, including Harbaugh going to the New York Giants. I pretty much called it. I knew right away the Giants were going to be all in on him because the Giants wanted Mike McCarthy before, right? They were interested in Mike McCarthy, like, to get the job, and solely because of his name. Like, the Maras are old school. They don't like being laughed at. They've had so many loser coaches. So I knew, like, the Joe Judges of the world and these guys and stuff. So I knew they're going to go with a name guy. And they were going to throw whatever name guy under the bus to get the new name guy after. Right? It was like, oh, yeah, you know what? McCarthy's kind of a front runner for this. Yet the second Harbaugh became available, there you knew they were going to be all in on that. And they are. And I even called the amount of money, guys. I said $20 million. I said, you know, if you're one of these teams, you got to give Harbaugh $20 million to become your coach. So John Harbaugh is now the highest paid coach in football, a guy that just got fired. And you can argue rightfully so. It's amazing, Cam. I'm not saying he's a stiff or he's a bum or anything like that. But, dude, like, he's no savior. He's only like, yeah, his last name is Harbaugh. He's like, seems worn out. He couldn't win with the Ravens. And I get he won. Like, that was like 15 years ago, guys, 20 years ago, whatever, 18, you know what I mean? It's a long time ago. He's not like some like mastermind now. And somehow him getting fired, Cam, has turned himself into the highest paid coach in football. Like, he makes more than Cignetti. He makes more than like Peyton, Andy Reid. It's wild.
Crazy. It is
the right guy at the right place at the right time.
Couldn't have said any better, Morency. You said it. And this is the thing. Like, you and I talked about it. He looked burned out. You have Derrick Henry as your running back. Actually, I thought Harbaugh did a pretty bad job coaching this team this year. They had many opportunities. Also, one of the worst team with leads and not running the ball, learning how to, you know, extend, put your foot on teams' throats. And that's what you said, though. And you brought up a great point a couple weeks ago. The Giants, what do they want? Name brands. It doesn't matter. Like, look what Cignetti did. When you talk about a coach that builds a program from James Madison and now national champion favorites, that's a coach, right? But he did it in the past, but will he do it in the future? Sure, the Giants have a couple nice parts. I know Neighbors was hurt all year, but I'm with you. I don't think, like, Harbaugh is a name, but I don't think he's really going to improve the team. But that's what the Giants need. They need stability. And at least Harbaugh, many years, the same as Tomlin, it brings stability to an organization. I think he would have done better with a year off, Gabe, but if you're throwing $20 million at a guy, you're not taking time off.
No, I don't think he wanted the time off. I think he was.
No, I'm saying I think he needs the time off. That was my opinion. Kind of take a break a bit.
I mean, I think he was worn out with Baltimore and just sort of the same thing with the same players. It's sort of like you're trying to accomplish something by doing the same thing over and over again without changing. Like, Baltimore every year would get sort of like upset. Like, fans would get mad and they'd lose in the playoffs and like Lamar would flame out and this and that. Yet they would never address it, right? Like, I don't blame Harbaugh for Baltimore's failures either. I'm just saying I don't think Harbaugh should be the highest paid coach in football, but I don't blame him. The roster in Baltimore wasn't very good. Like, it was extremely flawed.
And
they never, like I said, they never addressed it. So every year they would sort of lose in the playoffs and they would do the same thing over again next year. And it was like, guys, you don't have enough. Like, you need more. Like, you're not going to win with, like, just Zay Flowers as your guy or Mark Andrews. And, yeah, you had Derrick Henry, but they didn't use him. It was weird. Like, they would run the ball with Henry, and then they would stop. Like, they literally could – you know, it's funny because Harbaugh wouldn't have gotten fired if they wouldn't have missed a field goal. It's pretty wild. So, like, they missed a field goal in the last game to make the playoffs. That's what got Pittsburgh into the playoffs. But in that game, they were in control, like, over Pittsburgh. It was bizarro world. It was like, wow, you guys are going to win, and rather easily, I think. Like, Derrick Henry was punishing them. And then for whatever reason, it would be like a 3rd and 4, 3rd and 6 or something, and they continuously would decide to, like, throw the ball. It'd be like, yeah, we're running the ball, like, with ease. They cannot stop Derrick Henry. So why don't we have Lamar throw the ball now? And every time Lamar threw the ball, like, it wouldn't work. And it kept on stopping the clock and keeping Pittsburgh in the game and stuff. Like, you know, I know because I was on Pittsburgh in the game and I remember I was worried and I remember being like happy all the time. I was like, man, I tweeted out, I think at the time during the Sunday night game came and I said, thank God Monken's an idiot because
exactly.
Because all you have to do is just keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry, but you keep on getting cute with these stupid pass plays that aren't working. Nobody's open. People blame Lamar. It's not really Lamar's fault either, even though I'm not a massive Lamar guy, but he doesn't have anyone to throw the ball to. So like I said, you got Zay Flowers, who's small. He's good. Like, Zay Flowers is a legit number two on a real team. So he's not a number one, like, star wide receiver. He's really good, but he's not great. And he's small. So quarterbacks need, like, targets. It's hard to throw to small guys, right? Like, every good team, you'll notice, like, yeah, they got a guy, like, you know, like the Rams, Nacua and Adams. What can a quarterback just, like, when he's in trouble, can a quarterback just throw it up there to them? Right? I'm in trouble, guys. You're one-on-one. You're covered, but I got to throw it to you. And you'll see, like, Puka Nacua will catch it one-handed like a baseball, like it's nothing. Like, right? Zay Flowers can't do that. He's smaller. He's got to get open, and it's hard to see. Mark Andrews, I've always thought, is greatly overrated, and they don't have anything. So all they have is Derrick Henry. They didn't use him. And Monken is now going to be the Monken's going to be the offensive coordinator, looks like, in New York. And Monken's an idiot, guys, so... I know good people luck. In New York, Giant fans are all happy about this and stuff, but whatever. Dude, I don't even care. I'm old enough to know that all these coaches, it's very similar to free agency in sports, in which people get all excited. Oh, my God, this guy's going to that team. Yeah, whatever, dude. How many teams have people gotten excited about that Kevin Durant has gone to the last couple of years? oh, Phoenix are going to win for sure. Houston are going to win now for sure. And it's the same thing with coaching. Like people are all excited, like, about, like, oh, yeah, Harbaugh. Dude. Like, what is going to be different? Like, what, was Dable a complete idiot? No. Right? Like, what is going to be different? Like, so you got credibility, you know, your roster. You know, I guess you could argue on paper. We'll see if Harbaugh puts this in together and gets into the playoffs, then he'll be worth the $20 million. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, all these coaches, you fire your coach and stuff, these teams. And Kevin Stefanski is going to get hired now again. Mm-hmm. Kevin Stefanski sucks. Yeah, and he's going to get hired because there's 8 jobs. So, like, what? If you're a fan of the team and Stefanski gets brought into, we're going to get all excited? Oh, we got Kevin Stefanski. What, the same loser that couldn't do anything in Cleveland? You know what I mean? Like, so what are you excited about? It's just recycled. Like, the NFL is almost becoming like the NHL, where you just, the same coaches get recycled, whether they're good or not, what, because they're a name or they get along with GMs and, right? It's just, I don't get excited about it. So, like, whatever. To me, though, you got to get it right. You don't want to screw it up if you're a team. So, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, I don't mind that they didn't get Harbaugh, because I know the Falcons sort of think about name guys, too. The Titans really wanted him. That was one team that that really did want Harbaugh and didn't get him. But the Falcons, to me, is the best job, and that's the one that you're closest to winning with. So the Falcons need to get that one right. All right, let's bring in Big Card Julio. We got Cam Stewart and Julio in the house. Julio, congratulations on not being named and involved in the point-fixing scheme.
Your best line was? It had to be somebody from the MAC. Oh, for shame, Buffalo Bulls. For
yeah,
shame.
I saw the Buffalo Bulls are named.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, but it wasn't a player from Buffalo yet. Yeah. We haven't, so, like I said, they said something. These were games, games that were affected, but that could easily mean that the kid on Kennesaw State was screwing around against Buffalo or St. John's or whatever. But
true.
But no, if you go back into the past days, Toledo. The MAC was a place where, and still is. Like I said, the MAC is shady. Like, not all, like, the, you know, the conference title game stuff, but the MAC is shady on a nightly sort of, you know, on a Tuesday, middle of the winter night type thing. Just because, if you think about it, guys, it's a smaller conference, it's under the radar, and this is the key. It's in Ohio and in Michigan. Who do you have in Ohio and in Michigan? You got a bunch of mobsters and hustlers and gangsters and stuff. Right. So, like, there's certain markets they're going to get dragged into it. Like, you know, like we said, like, you know, Youngstown, Ohio is a good example.
Youngstown, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean, Julio? Like, Youngstown's a big time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're on Youngstown State, and Youngstown State did get caught, like, before, right? You're on Youngstown State, you're a kid in some of these towns, someone's going to approach you, right? It's going to happen, right? You're in some bar, and, like, you know, and you play for Eastern Michigan. You know, next thing you know, you got a bookie next to you, and hey, kid, you know, listen, I know my cousin played for Eastern Michigan, but fortunately, they don't rig hockey games. So, what's your take, Julio?
Well, it's 6 degrees of separation. Now, outside the college aspect, Antonio Blakeney, former LSU star, shaving points in the Chinese Basketball League. I announced Antonio Blakeney's games at the Windy City Bulls. Great talent.
Those are really bad, those games. Like, when you get into rig stuff. And how the hell are we supposed to know? But I know, I've told the story before. I was on Off the Record. I used to be on Off the Record all the time. But once I was in the green room before the show, and there was, like, a basketball agent. He represented, like, a few NBA guys. And, you know, he's an agent. He had a few big guys, but he had a few guys on the Raptors and whatever, like, a few other dudes. But I was in the green room with a guy, and he said to me, he goes, oh, I've seen you before. How you doing? Like, and he goes, you're the guy. He goes, hey, you're the guy who gives the picks and bets all the time. And I told him, I said, yeah. And I said, I even bet on, like, you know, the South Korean league and these different leagues and stuff. And he told me, don't. He was the guy. He goes, yeah, I don't do it. He goes, I really wouldn't bet. And he started telling me a story about the Chinese league. He goes, the Chinese league is really bad. And he goes, I've got a bunch of players that play in these leagues, and they tell me crazy stories. And it's basically, it's not like for, like, betting almost. It's the owners of the teams, guys, that do it there. They take it that seriously. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the owner of the team will, like, pay off, like, the coach or whatnot. And, like,
they're like Mr. Burns. They want more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the power plant cam. Yes. Like, they, you know, I'm like, you know, like how it sponsor names out there?
Yeah.
Like, right. It's the company name. Like, they don't want to lose.
Yeah.
Like, so they'll do whatever it takes type of deal to win, basically. But so what he said is, and then he also talked to me about, like, the mobsters, the Yakuza, like the Asian syndicates and stuff. He basically said they pay the coaches off, but the owners have to be in on it, like, because the owners are powerful gangsters there in China. Like, so you're going to mess with them and, like, you know, it's not worth it. Like, they'll have you killed. So, like, he would say basically, like, they'll take the best players out of the game within the last couple of minutes. like, they classic. Take the American guys out. Like, there's a lot of, like, South Korea, the South Korea League got caught. The thing is, in South Korea, man, they don't play around with that. You go to jail for, like, 18 years.
Yeah.
Like, in Asia, max fixing is bad, bad. Like, Gabe, they're into honor stuff. Like, they do not like it.
Yes. You're great, great call by you. In their culture, like, you screw around, you lie and cheat. That's not good for business.
No, I know, because there was a Korean fighter in the UFC. There was so much line movement during the day. Everybody knew. And the UFC actually knew. They're not dumb. The UFC follows the monitors and stuff. So the UFC actually went into the room before the fight and they told them, don't do this. We know what's going on. Do not do this. And he broke down and he told them, honestly, he goes, they threatened me and my family. He basically said they threatened to, like, my sister and stuff. And I took the money. I already took the money. So they canceled the fight. They didn't do the fight. And he still got charged because he took the money. So imagine, he never actually even rigged anything, but he admitted to taking money to doing it. They nailed him. I don't know what happened to him. It kind of got, he wasn't a big name. It kind of flew under the radar in Korea. But, like, yeah, they don't play around over there with that stuff. But like I said, Julio, man, if you're a grown man and you're betting on a Kennesaw State game or a Texas Southern game, you kind of deserve it. Like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
It's like, ooh, I got screwed.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, if you're that much of a degenerate, you should know, like, be an adult about it and know. Yeah. Like, I tell people all the time this stuff. Yeah. You know, be aware. A game like that can be. And not that I know, it's not that the whole game is fixed. You got one kid trying to miss shots or something like that. Right. And like I said, imagine, Julio, that could help you. If you don't know, you might be on the right side of the fix, right?
Excellent right. point.
Excellent point. Like, I'm surprised in my few years of doing Chicago State basketball that I didn't see more shady characters at their arena.
That's what I would expect. Exactly.
Yeah, that's just Chicago
no
State.
One, no one
Chicago, like, there's just so many sort of nefarious dudes lingering in the city. Such a small school that no one even thinks about. It'd be so easy. Like, because, you know, like, it's hard to meet the Michigan point guard. Like, you know what I mean? You don't really see him. Like, he, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like the kids on Michigan are, like, that accessible. You know, Julio. Like, how accessible is a kid at Chicago State? He's working at 7-Eleven during the day.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
like, you know, oh, yeah, this kid walking down the street, that's the center on the team. You can just pull a car up and, like, go up to him. It's easy.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? It's on the like, most. Located on the most dangerous side of town. No one went to the game. The only people that went to the game were NBA scouts. Like, for example.
Yeah, and if you don't bet that much, no one will notice. Like, once again, guys, you'll laugh, Kev. They put $460,000 on the first half of a Kennesaw State game.
That's another thing. Like, use your head.
You're smart. I give you credit. You're smart enough to get these kids involved. I give you credit for hatching the scheme, but you screw it up, man.
You bet
$4,000, no one knows.
Exactly.
And
it's
greed. Systematically do it forever. Yes, you just sort of chip away at them. But you're like, no, let's go big. $424,000. At different sports books, and these books share each other's bets.
Exactly.
They're all hinked, so they'll know. Like, so MGM will go, like, put it in alert, like, on their page so that they share. And they'll say, yeah, somebody just bet $48,000 on the first half of Kennesaw State. And they don't call the FBI right away. And then an hour later, they're like, oh, look at this. Caesars just took a $62,000 bet on the same thing.
Ding, ding.
And now they speak to the offshore. Oh, yeah, BetOnline is getting hit hard on that Kennesaw State first half. then they clue in. Yeah, they're spreading it around everywhere, right? But if you still bet $424,000, they're going to be able to connect the dots and realize it's the same effing people.
I have to wonder where these bets were taken. If this, as you were mentioning, a series of bets that accumulated to that amount
was part of this. FanDuel.
Wow. So this
had to be another thing too. And I'm going to give advice to you if you're out there and you're going to play. You can't do it. You got to do it with bookies, man, or offshore. Yeah. If you do it offshore, offshore can't do anything about it because they're technically who they're going to go to, the feds.
That's the great
right. Like
point.
Who are they going to go to? They can't. They're not allowed doing what they're doing.
You got
to
do it on the street.
Or you do it with a bookie, like slash cartel mob type guys, and you do it with them, but you can't rip them off and be betting fixed games. So you got to tell them, basically. You got to go, look, you know, they're going to know anyways. When you tell them, I want to get $500,000 in on a Kent State game. They're going to know something is up. And then that's sort of the wink, wink, okay, we'll get in on it too now. And okay, but we'll get your action in. You got to do it on the street. Right, you do it of these. They're so stupid. Like they do it. Like
and
remember the Alabama manager, the Alabama baseball manager, scratched the pitcher to his team.
These are class
A felonies, I guess the guy was an ace, and no one knew publicly, and he knew what he was going to do with his lineup and stuff. So he actually told like his brother-in-law, to go bet. And he actually went into the stadium in Cincinnati. They got a sports book at the stadium at the Reds games. He walks in and he bets $210,000 on an Alabama college baseball game. Dude, like they did call like right away. Like they basically like got on the phone like they were being robbed. Like, hello, police. Yeah, we got a guy in here betting $200,000. Like, and it took like 2 minutes for the cops to track the number. And the Alabama guy, the manager, called from his freaking office. Like, dude, like, they really do, like, you can get away with a lot of stuff in this world, right? Like, even more, way more serious stuff than this, but they will catch you when you do this stuff. If you start betting at FanDuel and stuff, they will catch you, point blank.
The best point you brought up is these are Class A felonies, and you're going to do hard time for very little money. Gabe brought it up. You could do like you could sell drugs. Like you know a guy does 8 years, he gets out of jail. They grease him for millions of dollars for taking a hit for the cartel. Like we're not stupid people here. Like we know what's going on. You're literally making $20,000 to $30,000 for what? To do jail time?
They're not going to throw the key away on these kids, but my guess is they're going to get like 2 years.
At least. Yeah. Right. I agree with you, Gabe.
In 2 years, there is no 2 year federal either, right? So it'd have to be more. Right. So like, yeah, they're in trouble. Like they're going to have to, like I said, like the feds are going to have to show mercy on these kids, but I don't think they will. And not to mention too, let's just be real, man. Julio, you're into all this stuff online as I see. And it's a pretty nice distraction. Here's another distraction, right?
Oh,
let's call it out for what it is. Oh yeah. Look, we busted a bunch of kids. People want to see the damn Epstein file list. It's called out for what it is. So you guys can, you're busted. Like, that's the way people look at it. I'm just being
like
real.
Wag the dog. It's like wag the dog. Like,
you guys, every day you got a new sort of, you're going after someone else. It's like, yeah, well, and not me, but I'm just saying that's what people think. It's like, yeah, whatever. So you know what I mean? It's like, you got all these people out there and you just shook down a bunch of kids for like, missing a free throw, Julio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. In the grand scheme
like
of things,
my point is, aren't there more serious crimes going on?
Yes,
like literally right now.
Are.
Yeah, right now as we speak. No, you are 100% right. And I know of a guy who helped a big group at sports books across the country. And from what this guy was telling me, he had the hardest time putting $2,000 down on a Florida Gulf Coast. Florida A&M, a hypothetical game. A hard
that's the made point, game. Julio. You know what it is, though? In the old days, they wouldn't do it. Now they do to bust you.
Yes.
Yeah. They set you up. They're like, yeah, let them bet the $400,000 and we'll investigate this and we'll find out if we're getting beat on other games too, right? And we'll end up busting them after. Well, we're going to rat them out. Right before they just shut it down. Like, no, that's crazy. You can't get $400,000 in. Now they're like,
hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+. Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, okay, we'll take the money. Yeah, sure. And now we're going to open up an investigation.
Now you're done.
Right.
Exactly.
The guys who are like,
I told them that. Just take the bets and then we'll nail them after for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. The people who are professionals, it's hard for them to get 2K down. They've got to go to different kiosks and simultaneously get a bet down just to get that number. So, yeah, it's either.
I know a guy that knows a guy that knows guys, etc. But like many years ago, somebody told me, like, hey, I have a friend that plays hockey in Europe. And he is open to, you know, and I shot it down right away. I was like, I don't want any. I said, no, I don't. No. Like, yeah, I can't help you. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. It simply is not worth it. Like, what, you want to get arrested for what? Oh, yeah, we got a bet in and we made $3,000 on some, like, hockey game. Good for you. Like,
Mount
no.
St. Mary's.
Yeah, like, no, shut it down. I don't want anything to do with that type of stuff. And these kids, man, like, they got to do a better job, man, of, like, I don't know. You can't listen. How many college basketball players are there, Julio?
Oh.
Jeez, like, Louise.
38,000 or something? Like, something stupid? Like, there's a lot. Like, you know what I mean? No. You know, 13,000, I think, whatever. Like, there's 335 teams that are lined with point spread. So let's call that. So 300 times the 15. So you're talking about like 15,000 kids or whatnot. And then you think of the other schools, you can get games and bets when they play line teams. It's really not that much, Cam, if you think about it. Like, let's say you got 13,000 kids and, all right, 30 of them did something shady. It's a pretty low percentage.
Yep.
Like, it's, you know, people, Dave Malinsky, may rest in peace, told me that years ago. I remember there was a scandal, and Dave had the numbers being as astute as he was. He said, Gabriel, and he even had the exact number. He goes, you know, there were 132,000 sporting events played last year.
And he said, that's awesome.
He said there were four of them that were documented fixed, and he goes, there were probably about 30 to 40 others that we didn't know about.
That's nothing.
And then he goes, in other words, 0.6% or something. Yeah. Right. It's not some epidemic. Right. But these smaller schools, it'll happen. And also, it should be noted, this story's from 3 years ago. So it has nothing to do with the kids that are playing on the games today. And you know that these kids are smarter now and know that they're going to get caught more. I think, you know, whatever. If you're smart, what you do is you just sort of tell your buddies. But it's very difficult because you can't have a digital trail about it. But you just sort of tell your buddies in the morning, listen, I'm not going to go over my total tonight, or I am going to. I think I can score because they do know, right? I mean, I used to have UFC fighters tell me, yeah, I wouldn't bet on me in this fight. Like, right? Guys would know. Like, yeah, I'm probably not going to win. You know what I mean? I mean, Julio, if I fought like Dominic Cruz, I know I'm probably not going to win. So I would tell you,
don't bet
I'm not
going to
beat him. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah.
please don't bet on me.
I got a shot. Yeah. I've been training hard, man. Trust me, Julio. I'd be like, listen, I'm fighting this guy and I'm not going to win. So if you want
to
bet on me.
Quick example, Julio. Quick example. When Gabe and I report ownership of a horse, we knock a horse down from 6-1 to 1-8 because these guys were saying, stop betting on the horse. That was done legally, but that's the way things work, right? It's like, please don't do this. You are affecting numbers, and now we're getting nothing, even if he does well, because all the handles on that thing. Like, that was even like, I'm not talking about betting scandal, but Gabe, that's what happens, right? With all these sports and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just like, whoa, man, like, that was crazy. You saw the odds board. I'm like, these guys are killing us. Tell them not to do it.
Yeah. Well, the average, yeah, that's the thing. The average better. Yeah. Our horse, everyone bet on our horse. The other owners loved it.
Yeah. They loved it.
And the track didn't like it. The track liked it in a way, but they were getting beat big. They'd get all this money because our horse would run, and all our fans would bet on him everywhere around North America.
They'd lose.
and it would really screw up the odds. And then other horses, the other horses that are actually better than our horse would suddenly become an underdog.
Exactly.
Right? That, then it. Suddenly you got a horse that was like better than our horse that was like a 4-1, and we're like, you know, minus, we're 1-6 or 1-4.
It's a joke.
And then the other, so the other owners loved it when we were in the races because they would get better odds for their horse.
Correct.
And that, the thing is, this goes on a lot. Like, in all horse racing's like, even if horse racing, the actual horses aren't rigged, the owners, a lot of it is manipulated behind the scenes, in which all the owners know each other. And the horses, they kind of know, and they'll tell each other, like, basically, yeah, my horse is not going to, like, do this. We're not going to do that. So you can, like, if you're in the stable and you're part of the little crew that they have, and we weren't, like, we were getting played by them, was you'll know, like, basically, in advance, this horse is going to hold back. This horse is sick. This horse has a bad foot. They all share the inside information with each other, and then they bet. And it's the, and it sounds crazy, but it's the only way they can survive, because you can't make enough money just – you can't make enough money owning a horse just by the purses. You need to make money betting, whether it's betting on the other damn horses or your horse, or, like, unless you made money betting that night at the track as well in your race. And that was our problem. We weren't smart enough or sophisticated enough to figure that out. And, you know, we should have just been hammering every other horse in the race, betting against ourselves.
Exactly.
Right. But, like, you know, where you're young, you're naive, you don't really understand. We were young in the business, and about how we were getting played. And I caught on because one of the other owners came up to me once and he said, "When are you racing again?" I said, "I think we need a week off." He goes, "Oh, that's too bad." And he was upset because we weren't going to manipulate the odds next week.
Exactly.
He said, "Oh, that's too bad you're not here next week." And I realized, man, we're just like the big suckers in this. Like, but we're not getting ripped off. But everybody, like, saw us and they were like, man, we were sort of like a flower.
We were marks. Yeah.
We were a flower and everybody was like getting honey from us, Julio. You know what I mean? Yep. It was like, oh, yeah, these guys are in the race and their horse is going to be a favorite, even though it shouldn't be. It was quite a learning experience, I'll tell you that.
It really was.
And it learned. Wow. It was a learning experience enough for me that I kind of stay away from racetracks for the most part now. But speaking of racetracks, you got Chicago is supposed to go to Arlington and all that. But Chicago's got more football to play at Soldier Field. Sunday night football, your Bears, Julio. So I wanted to get you on, actually. So your Bears taking on the Rams. They survived last week against the Packers. Nobody really believes they're going to win this football game, but the point spread is only 3.5. So the odds makers give the Bears a chance. But people in the media and in the football world, I haven't seen too many people of anybody actually pick the Bears in this game. What's your pick, Julio?
The only way the Bears can keep themselves in this game is they need to complete their drives. They can ill afford to go down 2-3 scores against the Rams in the second half. I don't think Sean McVay is going to let off the gas in the second half the way his old buddy Matt LaFleur did. But key point, the Bears in that first drive against the Packers, driving down the field, ended up with a field goal. The drive stalled in the red zone and only were able to get a field goal, only points of the half. They can ill afford to do that. They've got to dominate with the ground game, which then leads to time of possession. Because I think their secondary, little bit shaky. So I think the Rams offense will be able to drive it down the field. So I definitely would like some Stafford props in this game, but, you know, definitely his touchdown props, but I give the Bears a fighting chance. But if they strike out several times on their drives, it could be a long night.
It's going to be a cold night. That's one thing. It's going to be a cold night. And this wasn't originally, like they said, oh, it's not official, the start times and all that last week all the time. But this was not going to be the Sunday nighter, right? It wasn't originally. The ratings for the Patriot game were not very good on Sunday Night Football last week. They had the lowest ratings, and it was kind of a boring game, but the Patriots are kind of boring and stuff. And so they ended up, like, the Bears, and because I remember said earlier in the week, I said, the Bears, it'd be better for the Bears if this game was later in the day. as opposed to like in the sun in the afternoon and stuff like that. Get it at nighttime where it'll get really cold and windy, and it is. So, you know, you got a 6:30 start time Eastern, which is what, 5:30 Chicago?
Yep.
So it's not, you know, it's not late night yet, but it's going to be cold on Sunday, right? Temperatures 19 degrees Fahrenheit and -7 Celsius. Except, so -7 isn't that bad, whatever, but it's a little worse. It's the low is -17. You get into -17, and they don't call it the Windy City for nothing in Chicago. You throw in the winds and -17, that's cold, cold. Like, that is cold. Matthew Stafford's got a back. He's 38 years old, 39, whatever. He also hurt his finger last week. Like, his finger, he's got a fractured something in his hand now. Like, these, every team's beat up, man. It's the way it is. But, like, so, yeah, Stafford's got, like, say, a fractured finger or something. Man, you got those cold conditions. Stafford's hand hits an ice-cold helmet like that. It could really mess him up. And like I said, I'm not saying, you know, you want to hurt anyone deliberately, but it is football. If you're the Chicago Bears, like, you want to test Stafford's back out a little bit in that cold weather. Right.
And not to mention,
right in the spine, in the back, man. And say, all right, how does that feel? You know,
not to mention Soldier Field's turf is the worst in the NFL, ran by the Chicago Park District.
Who runs it? The Chicago
Park District.
Yeah.
Right. The Chicago Park District. So
they get longer and nastier.
That's great. Yeah. I would tell the old Chicago Park Districts, hey, make sure that heater under the field doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
Make the field as bad as possible.
Make it like rock.
Yeah, yeah. Like asphalt. Make it like, yeah, so Davante Adams does not like this. Like, no. You know what I mean? The Bears are famous for making the grass thick, too. Let that grass grow a little, Julio. Like, cut it a little, like, rough. Thick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Ben Johnson seems like a coach who would take any edge he could possibly get. Like, after what I've seen over the course of this year in the honeymoon phase, he seems like a guy. He's in my eyes, he's already 1B, 2B, I should say, in my Bears all-time coaches. Of course, it's Ditka. Then it's Lovie Smith. I mean, Lovie Smith for me is probably my number one, because first thing he said it was beat the Packers in his introductory press conference. He took the Bears to a Super Bowl. So I love the guy. But Ben Johnson's creeping up there, and he seems like a guy who would do anything and everything, except maybe cheat like Bill Belichick. But who knows? Who seems like a guy who anything to get an edge.
Yes. No, well, not cheat, but you just sort of, you know, you use your home field to your advantage. The Patriots did it a couple of weeks ago. Who was it? There was no hot water in the locker room or whatever for the visiting team.
The heat didn't work.
Yeah. It's like, oh, just by chance. Sorry. Yeah. The heat doesn't work in your room. Like, stuff like that. You just sort of screw with them. But, you know, it's petty. The NFL doesn't like that stuff either. You know what's really stupid, guys? Iowa, what they do. Like, I don't know why they think it's going to do anything, but, like, whenever Michigan goes to Iowa, they paint the visiting locker room pink.
That does nothing.
And they think that somehow is going to, like,
make them weaker?
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, they think it's going to phase us or something.
That's dumb.
It's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, yeah, it's like, well, all right, paint the room whatever color you want, man. Exactly. We don't care. Like, you know that, eh? Well, yeah, Hayden Fry, you see, like, yeah.
Yeah, Iowa.
Paint the room pink to upset the visiting team.
That's dumb.
They just laugh at it. Like, exactly. We care. Like,
it's a paint job.
Yep. Yeah.
You really want to unleash some cockroaches or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like some rats. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like a couple snakes.
Then I would have liked that. Yeah. I'd be like, damn, they unleashed rats in our room. Like,
yeah, fear factor.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick some. Exactly. Like Daniel Snyder did, the owner of the Redskins, Commanders. He was such a petty guy. The owner of the Nationals had a suite at the football games. They didn't like each other. I guess the owner of the Nationals used to badmouth Snyder, like, in social circles and stuff. And Snyder knew this. But the guy had his own suite. So Snyder was that petty, actually, that he had his workers take a bunch of dumps and stuff and hide it in the guy's suite cam. Like, Daniel Snyder was that petty. Like, a billionaire guy was that petty. And he came up with an idea. It was brilliant. they poured rotten milk into the carpet in the guy's suite.
Oh man, that reeks. Rotten milk's yeah. bad.
Yeah, they put stuff in the toilet, like, you know, the lid. So they couldn't find it. They were like, what's that smell? They put a bunch of crap in like the toilet.
Oh yeah, the old like sandwich move, like between the that's so dirty. That's awful. That's so bad.
An owner of FLT doing that to one of his clients.
Those are like teenager pranks at guys like fraternity houses. That's the best.
I told a story before years ago. I was living in this place, this with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and like the guy that owned the place was like the meanest old like son of a bitch dude ever. Like he really was. And he threatened me, like, even. You know what I mean? But what was I gonna do? The guy was like an old dude and stuff. So he really pissed us off. And him and his wife loved their garden, right? They had this, like, they live like a couple of blocks away. They loved their garden and stuff. So he upset me so much, Kev. I went to Canadian Tire, and I asked the guy, I said, yeah, what's the thing that I can kill the most? Like, I said, I got a bunch of problems. I said, I got problems in my, I said, I need some killer stuff. I got problems in my lawn. Guy said, oh, this will destroy it. I remember the guy told me, he goes, yeah, you pour this stuff, it eats the earth alive almost. He goes, watch out, don't pour too much. I went like in the middle of the night and just like.
And it's so hot it discolors and it kills everything. Oh, yeah, it's the best.
Oh, yeah. It took like a week or so. At first, I was like, man, this is happening. And then it took like a week or two. I was so happy. I walked by them and I saw them all distraught in the lawn, like looking like, what's going on? Everything's dying.
You ruined an old guy's lawn.
I pretty much pulled a Harvey Updike camp.
Yeah, he did. You pissed on the tree.
Like the Auburn guy. Yeah,
exactly. Alabama tree. What, Auburn? Killed the tree. Screw you, Auburn.
I didn't kill any trees because I like trees, but I'm not going to lie. I ruined the guy's lawn pretty good.
That's like, the best. Yeah, that stuff's dangerous.
After, like, they had to rip up the grass, and they, like, had to redo it. Yeah, to resaw it. Yeah, I was very proud of myself.
Yeah, that's stuff's strong.
Like, you son of a bitch. No, the guy was, like, an ass. Like, he basically, like, threw things. Like, he kicked
the I guess the message is, don't piss you off. Right?
No, like he deserved worse. It was sort of like tit for tat. The only thing is, he knew after he suspected. Yeah, of course he suspected something was up.
That's a good one. Yeah, people who love their lawn too. Like if they bust their lawn up, that's to them that's like a death in the family, man. They'll lose their mind.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I was like, I can't assault them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I actually felt bad for the wife a little bit because
she's not as he was the bad guy.
He was actually like bad. Like, I swear to God, like, I thought the guy was, like, you know, he was, like, seriously, like, he reminded you of a type of guy that you'd find out was, like, a Nazi guard, like, living, like, in the, you know what I mean? Like, I actually said that to him once. I said, were you, like, a guard or something? Like, that's you, like, he got really upset about it. I told him, I said, you'd be a good, like, Nazi guard, bro. Because, like, you're really over the top. It's weird because I like the Rams, but I kind of want to see the Bears win. Like, just too. Sort of be fresh. But I don't think they will, Cam. I kind of see
I see some fours popping up, Marenzi. I know. I guess a lot of people, like, ooh. I see 3.5. I saw a couple of books had actually a 4 down. 3.5.
Caleb Williams play well in this big game? That's the question.
Well, the thing about Caleb
for
Williams
60
was,
minutes, not for 5 minutes at the end.
But then again, Gabe, I'll play devil's advocate. The Rams didn't play a 60-minute game against Carolina. They let him right back in that game. They were very, very fortunate. Just saying. I think this total, despite the it looks cold, and you know what I mean, Gabe? You're talking minus 17. That's real cold. That's not just cold. 48.5, though, with these offenses, I think we can get there. I'm probably going to take the points with the Bears. Maybe it's a little bit of a leap of faith wish because the Rams are in Seattle's division. I'm cheering for the Bears. I think the Bears can hang.
Yeah, if the Seahawks win, obviously they will host the winner. Yeah, if I was the Seattle Seahawks, I would prefer the Chicago Bears just due to the past history with the LA Rams. It's going to be a tough spot for Seattle, man. They're going to have to beat San Francisco, and they're going to have to beat potentially the LA Rams, two teams that generally beat them more so than not. There are two bullies on the block. And listen, I don't think the point spread should be as high as it is, personally. But for the record, and listen, these guys bet. I mean, Paul Bovey bets real money. Paul bets big units. Yeah. Paul Bovey came on with us, and he basically thinks that Seattle are going to win in a rout.
Wow.
He said Seattle in a rout, and Brady Cannon Sharp Guy is a San Francisco 49er fan, and he also thinks that he said he thinks Seattle wins by double digits and that he will not take the points.
I think Seattle wins by like, you know, 13 points. Like, I don't know, complete route, but I'm with these guys, and I just think they can catch San Francisco in a good spot. I really like the situation. I think McDonald will have them ready, Gabe, but I understand totally. Like, you're getting San Francisco, a team that walked into Philadelphia and beat the crap out of them. Basically, it's pretty simple. If McCaffrey does his thing, San Francisco's probably going to cover. If Seattle finds a way to neutralize them, they'll probably cover the 7, but I think Seattle wins. I think this total's a little bit light too. 44.5. I think Seattle, they'd had a lot of missed field goals the last game. San Francisco did score points against Philadelphia, which is a pretty good, damn good D. So I think that total's too light in the game, but I'm taking the Seahawks to cover, Gabe.
I think I'm on San Francisco, Julio. Who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I respect both Paul and Brady and Gabe and Cam, but I'm taking San Francisco plus 7. I think it's going to be a closer game. I think it'd be a nice, nasty slugfest in the Pacific Northwest. I'm going to take a little sprinkle because I just like the number at plus 280. Shop around with the 49ers on the money line, but I'm definitely taking the 7. You guys convinced me. Can I also get a weather mat for my vehicle with the Matt Stafford talk? I'm going to take a couple of his under props. I'm also going to take him over the interception prop. He and Caleb Williams both, I think they throw an interception at minus 110. Stafford under 37.5 longest passing completion, minus 110. And, I'm going back and forth. I'm torn between the San Francisco game. It's competitive.
If you look, so Seattle did beat them a couple of weeks ago, right? 13-3. Mm-hmm. It was a big game for them. They got it done. So they won the game 13-3. San Francisco didn't play well. They were, you know, whatever. It wasn't the best spot for San Francisco. They played in week one. It was 17-13. Last year, the last game that they played, 2017. You got a pattern here. These two teams are evenly freaking matched, right? They're evenly matched. And the whole San Francisco are beat up thing, they're always beat up, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're actually getting some guys back now. So they're getting Fred Warner back now.
That's huge.
Which is a big spiritual, and not just spiritual, but especially when you're placing a team that can run the ball like the Niners are in Seattle. Seattle's offense, you know, is pretty pedestrian, right? Like, it's basically Kenneth Walker. Let's call it off what it is. Kenneth Walker busts a big play for them, and then Charbonnet sort of wears you out a bit after. They have a great 1-2 combo. Their passing attack, I'm not a Sam Darnold. Everyone was Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Darnold's good. I don't have a beef with Sam Darnold, but you've just saw it. Like, over the last 3 weeks, this Seattle offense has really struggled, right? I mean, that Indianapolis game, all right, the Ram game was a nice one, the track meet one. That got wild. That was a nice statement win for them. The Carolina 27-10, okay, 13 points. Same thing. Like, Seattle have a hard time in the red zone. Like, they're going to have to finish off drives. And, you know, like I said, I'm not saying, oh, San Francisco win the game outright, even though I think they could. I got it like a, you know, 27-24 type of game. I think it's going to be a 3-point game, like one way or the other.
You like the over, though, as well. Over 44.
Yeah, I was almost going to say 23-20, Cam. I'm not in love with the over, actually.
I just think San Francisco will score more than before.
Every game is different.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, against different teams.
Very true.
And if you look at these two teams, like I said, they just played they played 17-13 and 13-3 this year. Now we're playing in a playoff game. Like, I don't think it's a track meet, Cam, personally.
The thing is, I think there's going to be points in this game because I like what I saw from San Francisco against Philadelphia's front, and I know Purdy made mistakes, but they left points on the board. And Seattle, well, they missed two field goals in that game too and were stalled many times. So I know it seems very, very – like, you're right, Gabe. Like, both of these other games look low, and it seems like it's going to be a rock fight. But I just got a feeling these teams are so familiar with each other now. I think the offenses will be a little bit better than people think. I'm surprised Bovey and Brady both like that.
I think familiarity leads to less points. They both know each other so much, so it's all right, let's just not make a mistake. Yeah, like I don't like I said, I'm not in love with the over in that game. I'm really not. Like I keep almost coming back. I said 27-24, but I also said 23-20. I kind of, if I had to pick a score, that's my score actually, 23-20.
I'm going to tell you one thing, though, Morency, for props. People talk about Walker. Charbonnet has 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games and 6 in the last 7. He's even money for an anytime touchdown. Like if they're at the goal line, they're giving it to him. I think that's a great prop.
Oh, he gets more touchdowns than Walker does. Yeah, he's exactly. The touchdown guy. And not to mention, too, you're going to have like Niner fans are going to really be in the house here. We'll see if Seattle fans don't sell all their tickets to them. But
it's weird. I'm getting texts from Vince, and he's usually very cocky. He's like, may the best team win this week, meaning he's a little bit worried. Usually he's like, we're going to kick your ass. Seahawks are overrated. That's kind of funny. I'm like, okay. Why is the guy playing possum with me, trying me to be cool? But
yeah,
San Francisco, like Gabe, I that's the thing. You're getting multiple points with a very, very good and hot team. I just think Seattle, unlike other teams coming off the bye, I think they'll have a very good game plan. But this is going to be a great game.
All right, Julio, you were in Denver. You're not anymore. So you were, I was going to say, you got the Bills and Broncos there, but you're in Wisconsin now. So, but you got the Bills and Broncos. And I don't need to tell you, Julio, it's, you know, the Broncos, how popular they are there. And now you throw in the Bills as well, who are very popular, and the Bills travel. The Bills fans travel. Man, tickets are expensive there, man. It's like $1,000, Julio. You can get in for like $500-$600, but last row, upper deck, like you know, the lower bowl is basically like 800 and up, 1,000 and up. It's a hot ticket, man. It's a big game, man. People in Denver are fired up for this game with Buffalo and Denver.
People in Denver love their Broncos and go crazy when they're good. There are actually a lot of Bills transplants in the Denver metropolitan area. A lot of people from out east live there, and a lot of folks from Wyoming who love the Cowboys, big Josh Allen fans, converted to become a Bills fans. Actually, there was a Cheyenne, Wyoming, had the Bills radio network, WGR, for a couple of years.
Amazing.
Josh Allen. And in fact, I even saw something this week about this, that Wyoming fans are fired up and they're all going to the game, like the Wyoming alumni club, and like the Wyoming are adopted Bills fans, like Wyoming Cowboy Nation will be in the house representing the Bills.
And it's a thorn on Cowboy fans' side because, I mean, literally John Elway, people were talking about Josh Allen in the NFL for years. I covered his first 2 seasons there at Wyoming, and people never understood why John Elway never scouted Josh Allen, never took him seriously. It was a quarterback from Wyoming.
Next door,
90 minutes away, 2-hour drive. And so a lot of Cowboy fans and Bronco fans pissed off about that, but it's going to be an electric game. I like the Bills in this one. I like the number. I'm going to shop around and see if I can get maybe Bills on some plus money side. But I think
they
Buffalo
are now. They on FanDuel, they flipped. They're +1.5, not -1.5 now. Exactly the same as the Jacksonville game. It's crazy.
I called it. I said this is what was going to happen. 1.5 to 1.5. And I don't think it'll move either. It's not going to go up any higher. I think it'll just stay at the 1.5 now. But, yeah, you get the Bills +1.5. Nice for teasers. And then finally, Julio, we'll wrap it up. Houston Texans, New England Patriots, what's your pick?
The game's not even on my radar, so I'm going to be trusting some of you guys for that game. Probably under 40.5.
I might be hung over if the Bills win.
I lean, exactly.
This is 12 o'clock. This is the less. This is the least glamorous
on
one.
Saturday, if Seattle wins and covers, I'm going to be partying until like 4 o'clock.
This is the least
morning.
Glamorous one, right? Exactly. You got the Bills, Broncos, 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, right, Bears, Sunday night, and it's like, Texans.
I lean Patriots, Texans. Right, every show I've been on, Gabe, they're talking about the Patriots like they're some world beaters. The Chargers played like junk that game. They're like, oh, Stroud sucks. Yeah, the guy had one bad game. Like, people need to relax. The NFL's a week to week.
Still scored 27 points.
Yes, that's my point. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone, the Patriots. You know what? I'm leaning Texans right now. I haven't pulled the trigger, but you want to give me 3 with the Texans? I'll give them a long, hard look.
I'm going to check the weather here. One thing with Stroud, he doesn't like cold weather.
No, he doesn't.
Right? So, well, he was 0-3 in when the temperature was 40 degrees, but a lot of quarterbacks, whatever. The cold weather thing is a little bit overrated, but Stroud was okay. He made a few mistakes. He was sloppy with the ball. The center had a big problem. The center was having a problem with the snaps. It was just sort of all of them. I don't really panic about that stuff. People like live in the past. Like, every week is different. Every game is going to present its different challenges, right? And sort of, and like I said, it wasn't Stroud's best game, but they won the game. He found a way. He made plays when he had to. I think he will be better this week. And the weather, it's cold. It's not. It's not even freezing. It's not even going to be freezing. So that's going to help Houston a bit. My issue with this, I like the Houston Texans here. I think we should be getting more than three. And I don't like the fact that Nico Collins is in concussion protocol. And, like, normally I don't dismiss a team because of one player, because, you know, then you get mad. The team wins anyways. And you're like, man, I can't believe I didn't do that because this guy was out or something. But Nico Collins is their best player. Like, he's their best wide receiver. Like, and he hasn't been practicing with them. Like I said, he's in the protocol. And generally when you're in a protocol, it turns into like a week and a half.
Christian Kirk played his ass off. If somebody else could step up, that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, Kirk will step up, and they're going to have to find a way. Yeah, they're going to have to find a way to make plays. Their defense is going to have to, like, just shut down the Patriots, which I think they can. But not having Nico Collins really hurts. Like, he's not going to play. You're in a concussion protocol, you're not going to play. Like, it's just, it is what, like, that always turns into a week and a half type thing. Like, he would play the following week after. So that's my deal with that. But obviously, we'll track it throughout the week, the weather and all that. And we'll dial things up. Check us out on the grid tonight. We're breaking down all the live action and games. Countdown to kickoff is on. And, oh, yeah, finally, Julio, we'll get your pick because we won't speak to you. Indiana or Miami, it's 8.5 now.
Give me the Hurricanes plus 8.5 and a little plus 280. Shop around for the best number.
Oh,
money line. Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah. I like Indiana a lot, but it's tough for me to pick against a team playing in their home venue in a national championship game. If Michael Irvin is telling people not to contact him for tickets, I have a feeling this could be like the old Orange Bowl days.
We're doing be all lines. Indiana fans. You're gonna see. It's gonna be mostly Indiana fans. They'll pay more. You want to talk about crazy? It's like $3,200 to get into that game. So yeah, it ain't cheap. It is not cheap. Thanks, Julio. Thanks, Cam. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. We'll catch you guys on the grid. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.